Bouncing off the table. Who should be at that table? Who should not be at that table? Well, we must be born again. And those who are born again are those who lean the whole weight of their never-dying soul security on the person and the finished work of Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's not just an intellectual thing. Yes, there's intellectual in it, but it's a trusting. It's a leaning the weight of my soul security in its entirety upon him. Now, that's what we mean by being born again. We don't naturally do that. There's so much of self in us, so much of sin. We want credit to come to ourselves for everything we do. That's the nature of sin. But when we are born again, we are enabled to lean, not deciding the credit to ourselves at all, the glory entirely upon him who stood in my room and place. Leaning the weight of my soul security there and there alone. And those who are enabled so to do, will have new desires in their lives and hearts. The first of these desires is to serve him. Just like the words of Saul of Tarsus, what wilt thou have me to do? Not to serve him in such a way as to take credit to myself, not to serve him in such a way that there was something worthy in my serving, but to serve him as a debtor to what he has done in my room and place, out of that sense of indebtedness to what we have been speaking about. And when we are born again, that is an effect. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross, simply to thy finished work, thy personal finished work, I cling. But not only will there be the desire to serve out of that through desire, that new desire, that desire to serve out of sense of indebtedness, but a desire to worship him. Desire to know him. To know him in his word. To know him in my prayers. To know him in the fellowship of the gospel. It's what the psalmist speaks of when he says this holy resolution to know him. That I, the beauty of the Lord, behold, may and admire. And that I, in his holy place, may reverently inquire. You must be born again to be enabled then to lean upon him. And when you lean upon him, you will have these two desires. And when you have these two desires, there will be warfare in your life. Because alongside these new desires, there's the old in measure still there. You will be a walking civil war. Desire to serve the Lord, but all the old principle still there in a measure, and we must need to come in prayer continually to the Lord to enable us to walk in the path of the new, to the glory of God and the good of my soul. The warfare is continual as long as we're on this side. And it will be there until the point of death. Indeed, we come to know, as we go on, we come to know more and more of that old principle that must be mortified, that must be put down out of a sense of indebtedness to what the Lord has done for my soul. But to those who find themselves having these marks, enabled to lean weight upon of the soul upon him, with the desire to serve him out of a sense of indebtedness, with a desire to worship him and to know him in a spirit of worship, and realizing some of the warfare that is involved in that program, the new desires that the old still there now measures. A program of sanctification continuing, in which prayerfully I must need the help of the Lord continually. You find the prayer that will be there, particularly in Psalm 17. And with this, I conclude this little discourse. Hold up my goings. This is our prayer that will be with you. Hold up my goings, Lord, me guide in those thy paths divine, so that my footsteps may not slide out of those ways of thine. I call it upon thee, O God, because thou wilt me hear, that thou mayest hearken to my speech, to me incline thine ears. And where you know that warfare, and where you know the desire to serve and the desire to worship, oh, come to his table. Come in your consciousness of your, oh, how much you come short. But come in the knowledge also that there is a fullness with him to meet your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He must be a cynosure of your focus continually. We shall sing in Psalm 118, verse 15. And as we sing, the office bearers will bring the elements to the table. There's in dwellings of the righteous is heard the melody.
In dwellings of the righteous is heard. I shall not die. Just as the sword, but not to die. Oh, set it open unto me again. It's all right, just and when into land, and I
the table is furnished, and we will sing some more verses. And when we sing, communicants, intending communicants, should come forward to the table. This is the gift of God.
This is the gift of God by him. The jumps in town. You will come as I and as myself. That stone is made and cornerstone, which builded us the inspires the sins our Lord, and wondrous this is the day God made in it with joy and God. Sing Lord, I pray, send a prosperity.
Now we must seek from the scripture itself the warrant that we have for the dispensation of this sacrament. And we find that warrant in the words of 1 Corinthians and chapter 11. And from verse 23. For I have received of the Lord, and the Lord himself who gives the warrant. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, this, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup, the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of this bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Let us seek to follow the Lord's example in giving thanks. Lord of glory, our Father which art in heaven, what more couldst thou have done than thou hast done? We pray that thou would enable us to enter into this holy exercise in a spirit of reverence and godly fear. We pray that thou would bring us under the authority and majesty of thy truth and sacrament. We pray that thou would enable us to know in our own experience the faithfulness of thy promise. Where the twos and threes are gathered together in thy name, thou art in the midst. May we know thee speaking to us "This is my body broken for you." May we re-enter into this exercise, realizing thy presence with thy people. Thou hast promised, thou who wast forsaken, thou who experienced that forsakenness, that loss of the conscious comfort of the Father's presence, that we should not experience that, but that we should know instead, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. That we would know thee as speaking to us even now, I will never leave you. I will not forsake you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Many waters could not quench that love. And that love remains unchanged, unchanging. Receive us with the pardon of our shortcomings and many sins. In Jesus' name, amen. professing believers, you are the bride of Christ. You have been greatly honored, called out of time to be his people, his beloved. You are espoused. You are betrothed to Christ. We speak of engagement today. Bible speaks of a betrothal or an espousal. When we are enabled to close in with him in that betrothal. With an engagement can be broken, but a betrothal has legal implications. It cannot be broken. And the next stage in that betrothal is the time when you shall enter out of this world altogether. When this clay mortal body must dissolve. And that stage, the souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness to immediately pass into glory. A further stage in that betrothal. We know little from scriptures of the nature of that intermediate stage from death to the time of the morning of the resurrection. But we do know that there is communion and worship, and we do know that it is sinless. The warfare that we spoke about earlier is over. We do know that there is a conscious relationship between that believing soul and Christ. We know it from the words of the Savior himself. He spoke it to the thief on the cross, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise, with me, in communion with me, in a relationship with me, in a face." Well, no, we cannot speak of a face to face in a physical way, but in a spiritual way, there is a relationship there without sin. But there is a further stage. The morning of the resurrection, glorified bodies, glorified souls, already glorified souls will join with glorified bodies to enter into the full enjoyment of God to all eternity. We shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him, pure in heart and spirit, to enter into that fellowship eternally. And that day will be a glorious day. When you came first and foremost to the Savior in your time of conversion, it was like Joseph making himself known to the brethren. It was a private thing between yourself and himself. But that morning of the resurrection would be public, publicly acquitted and entered into the full enjoyment of him to all eternity. It will be a triumphant manner. No more warfare, as I've said. The enemies of sin, Satan, and the world will be bruised under your feet. It will be a time of great joy. And it will never end. Let us therefore partake of this supper as those who are greatly privileged to the honor and glory of his great name. We read that in the night in which he was betrayed, the Savior took bread, and break it and said, "This is my body broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me." Likewise, in the same manner, after they had supped, took the cup, saying, "This cup is the New Testament, the New Covenant, in my blood. As oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come."
You are a greatly privileged people. You are married to Christ. You are the bride of Christ. We have spoken a little about the privileges already. But you are a very responsible people also. It is in your power. It is in your capacity to bring the precious name of Christ down into the gutter. There is great need for prayer to be enabled to witness a good confession, to live to the glory and honor of Him whom you profess as having loved you and giving Himself for you. And that prayer that we looked at already is so necessary day by day. Hold up my goings, Lord, may guide in those thy paths divine, so that my footsteps may not slide out of those ways of thine. There's in us something that is ready to go. We must walk the straight line. We must go the straight course. There's rocks on that side, and there's rocks on that side. And we must be aware of our tendency of what is still in us to go and make shipwreck on one side or the other. The side of legalism, my own doings, my own works. The side of antinomianism. And we need to be kept. But He has promised to those who look to Him, He will never leave them. He will be the keeper of your soul as you do so. The moon by night thee shall not smite, nor yet the sun by day. The Lord shall keep thy soul. Oh, keep looking to Him. Seek that you might show forth that name as being precious to you in the midst of a dark and gainsaying world.